How do we deal with a client who participates in the therapy but resists any attempt at change? Dr. Rick Hansen had such a client. After years of spinning his wheels, Rick was at a loss with how to proceed until Rick made this one game-changing decision.
I'll call this person Bob. Bob was one of my most difficult clients ever. And I started working with Bob fairly early in my career. And I was, you know, well-intended young therapist. I was just kind of bang on, you know, situations and try to create change as fast as I could. Bob was not going to have any of it, you know, and Bob kept coming in week after week. I kept wondering, why are you coming back, Bob? You know, he came in week after week after week, told me how unhappy he was, told me how it wasn't going well in his relationship, shrugged ruefully yet again at his wife's very reasonable complaints about him. He knew they were reasonable. I knew that. I could see they were reasonable. I had met with her a couple times. I knew they were reasonable. And there's a term for this from James Masterson, his work on different personality types and the schizoidal type in this case, not a classic DSM-4 or 5 schizoid personality disorder, but more schizoidal, someone who maintains an optimal distance, who never breaks free into full autonomy and self-expression and never really fully lands in intimacy with another person. And a term that describes the inner experience when you're with that kind of person a lot of the time is witness at the execution. They want you to know how bad it is, but they absolutely don't want you to change anything or help them. That's a form of resistance. That's a form, you know, that's a learned mode of relating. And there's a lot of internal fear in his case in allowing, in this case, me or anybody else really, to have enough efficacy or influence or power in his life to actually affect him. And also, it was alarming to him to get nudged out of, you could put it in terms of complex systems theory, the strange attractor pit that he was stuck in and was very unwilling to budge out of. All right. So this went on easily for 2.5 years. That's 100+ sessions. And it was the same script. I mean, I could have written the script. And I bet many people can relate to what I'm talking about here. Finally, a combination of getting fed up and a little light bulb of dawning wisdom, I realized we were getting nowhere. I was resisting his resistance. And in the classic line, what you resist persists. So I just gave up. I gave up internally. I didn't make a big speech about it with Bob. I didn't, give him a whole rant and rave about why I was justified in giving up. I just gave up. I still was unconditionally positively regarding of him. I was still present. I didn't start reading the newspaper as he droned on, tempting as that might have been occasionally. I was just like there with old Bob. And what I noticed was as soon as I gave up, Bob started to change. Bob actually had some room to breathe in the office. And I also think there was a way in which he could feel that I gave up in a sense, not like I was disappointed in him, but I was no longer the person in the room who was most dedicated to a positive outcome for him. And he needed to move into that niche. I think of the ecology of mind and different critters occupying different niches in the ecosystem of relatedness and larger systems as well. Is why when I stepped out of that, I'm the change agent niche, it was like a vacuum and sucked him into it. He had to move into it. And then what began to happen was a slow process of actual change in which I had to really stay about a half step behind him every step of the way. Because if I let myself get a little enthusiastic or out in front, yay, Bob, he turtled up again. He went back to his shell. And so bit by bit, step by step, it actually was a very interesting process of change. In many ways, the real evidence of change is when your partner notices something different, you know, and I did occasional meetings with her as well, with him, and she was noticing something that actually changing in him as well. And man, what a lesson that was. It's over 20 years ago, I think, at this point, and I try to remember it ever since. If I'm getting out ahead of my client and we're starting to have the same conversation again and again, an internal light goes off inside me now these days to ask myself, am I resisting their resistance and taking too much responsibility in the session for good things happening here?
As Rick shared, when we focus too much on results, it can lead to frustration for both us and the client. Here's Bill O'Hanlon for another thought on this.
Yeah, I had a client who came in years ago with what they call body dysmorphic disorder. She hated her body and wouldn't look in mirrors and things like that. And, you know, that's pretty, it's a difficult problem, but it's a pretty straightforward problem. But she happened to say in the first session, well, it doesn't really matter what we do about that. I mean, I'm suffering from it and I'd like some help with it, but I basically believe there are two kinds of people in the world, in the universe. Some people are cursed, and no matter what they do, they can have good things happen to them. But in the end, they're cursed for eternity. And some people are blessed. And she considered me in the blessed category, that no matter if bad things happen to me, it would all work out for me. And this drove me crazy. I mean, it's just like, well, so why are we even in there? I mean, what's the point? If it's not going to work out, you can get a little better, but it's not going to work out. And week after week, I really worked with her to try and put a dent in that. And after about 5 weeks of she just parried every effort that I made to make any inroads in that, I finally said, okay, you're not here for that. But I just want you to know that bugs me. And I really wanted to see if I could change that. She goes, you're not going to change it. And that's okay. That's not what I came here for. And then we made progress on the other thing. And I was just like, I found it so hard to give that up, partly because I'm psychotically optimistic, as I have said in other settings. But it just bugged me that someone would think their whole life was doomed, not just in this life, but for eternity. And I found it really, that was my problem. She didn't have an issue with it. She was just like, that's the way it is. These are my beliefs, and I didn't come for help for that. She just happened to mention it offhand and it became prominent to me. So like Rick, I just had to let that go. It just wasn't doing either of us any good for me to push against that again and again. And she went on with the therapy and we did fine and we ended the therapy and she was better about her body. And she went off with her beliefs about cursed and blessed. And I never made any difference in those. Still drives me crazy years later, clearly.
Bill clearly showed how our own intentions for our client can affect the therapy. In part 2's video, we'll go further into how to put a check on the practitioner's resistance. I'll see you there.